And welcome back. Moving right along on a very action-packed three-hour program tonight for you. It's been such a wonderful journey all these years, learning from people, watching things happen. And I'm very pleased for Brother Nathaniel. When he first came to my attention, he's come a long way. But the piece of that interview I saw, he was just on fire. Nobody could be more intellectually focused than that man in that interview. And considering the potentially unnerving aspect of being on a program like that, there's an example of somebody standing on the truth and taking the strength from the truth. It's all there. So just the sad thing is, it's very difficult now to really grab onto the truth because the alt media has so contrived it, messed it up, distorted it, confused it. That's what the alt media does so well, though. So if you're careful and you simply read between the lines, no problem. The truth is there. It's not hard to find. You just have to be discerning. All right. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Happy Wednesday.
What you been doing?
I'm trying to stay on top of things.
Yes, I know. I wish people knew how much Erica spends of her life researching this and watching it. And in a few weeks, we're going to start our fourth year doing this. And I'll say it again. You don't have to say anything. I don't know of anyone who has the length, breadth, and scope of her understanding of what's happening to all of us from a biophysiological standpoint, starting with nanotech and moving up to the sociological aspect of it all. It's all here, and we present it for you for your edification. We're not telling you how to think. We're asking you simply to engage in the process by giving you the data. So it's ultimately up to you, and no one more than we wish that there were happier things to report. There aren't, so far. If they change, you'll hear it here first. So here's the deal. We've got these military bioweapons now still being injected into human beings. They say it's around 7% compliance or conformity with the new Pfizer jab, Moderna jab. They're calling it a new vaccine. Technically a booster, whatever you want to call it. 7%, I think it's probably a little more than that. But still, if it's 10, that's a comforting thing. It would suggest that people have, unfortunately, in many cases too late, realized what has been done to them. And it does appear now, I'm going to simplify this real, real quickly, that everyone who has taken a viable Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, J&J injection is, to one degree or another, going to face trouble. And I'll leave it at that. It's not a good situation. We have yet to find one person who has demonstrably, scientifically vetted, thoroughly recovered from being vax injured. We're not seeing it. There are a couple people who claim it, but I have no science to back that up. And a couple people out of 6 billion injected, 13 billion total injections in the world, 600 million injections given in the U.S., all told? So think about it. Think about it. We have a very interesting video tonight. Go ahead. Yeah.
I would just say that everything that can manifest from this type of intervention, this genetic modification that's now happened, may take, years to play out.
Yep.
And we're seeing now that people that got one or two vaccines when these things were rolled out 3 years ago now are beginning to manifest problems. These are people who thought they were fine, and now they're finding out that they're not. There are anomalies in their immune system. Some are developing heart issues for the first time. So just to, you know, because you feel okay, you think you're okay, a lot can be going on at the cellular level that you're unaware of that is progressing.
At the protein level, way smaller than a cell, you got it. It's going on.
I mean, most chronic degenerative diseases take years to manifest. You know, diabetes, you wouldn't see the outcome of diabetes for several years. You could let your blood sugar run high, and it would be doing all kinds of damage if it was high. And the first sign might be vision issues, or kidney issues, or a heart attack. You know, the body has a lot of compensatory mechanisms to try to maintain homeostasis, but at a certain point, once things are piling up, you know, something breaks, and then you have disease.
You know, what you found recently, we've been talking about it a little bit, is that the first group, or the first wave, who were obviously vax-injured, bioweapon-injured, and or they had the bioweapon virus, and they got over the bioweapon virus and then got shot up, whatever. In each case, there were a lot of people who were put in the basket of long haulers.
Right.
This goes back two-plus years ago. What's happening to those people?
Well, I have a reader, actually, tonight that I grabbed.
Right.
They appear to be suffering ALS-like symptoms. They have muscle wasting, vague neurological issues. I mean, something's definitely wrong, and no one knows how to treat it.
No.
And they are continuing to decline. You know, if you want to read this one right now, we can.
Go ahead, read it.
Which one is it? Out of Hope. Okay. I am just so worn down. I'm so out of hope that I will ever be able to live again in any meaningful way. Every sign and symptom seems to be pointing straight towards a painful early grave. If there is any reason or evidence for any hope out there, I sure would like to hear it. It's been 7 months now. For 7 months, my body has been killing itself. I went from completely normal, completely healthy my whole life, to ruined, practically overnight. I never smoked, never drank, never did drugs, no prior health history. I didn't even take Advil. And then something in my brain and body broke, and my muscles started wasting away, more on my left side than my right. I was crippled with body pain and weakness. I couldn't sleep any longer. I developed terrible GI issues, and it's been a long, slow, continual decline since. Doctors spent the first few months completely writing me off and calling it anxiety. And since then, they've been just throwing their hands up and passing me off from specialist to specialist because they don't want to deal with a difficult case. They don't know what I have. Multiple x-rays, blood draws, CT scans, MRIs, and EMGs later, and I'm still wasting, still fading, still writhing in pain day and night, and no one seems to care. They found Lyme in my spinal fluid, but Lyme antibiotics for 2 months now and counting hasn't helped anything. They found Epstein-Barr, but they tell me there's nothing really to be done with that. This all started after getting the COVID vaccine, but they won't even touch that possibility. I have the muscle wasting of ALS, the stiffness of Parkinson's, and the pain of cancer. Portions of my body just won't work anymore. The muscle is dead and just hangs loose, while in some parts of my back, it's as tight as can be and will not release for anything. Just holding up my phone while typing in bed is tiring. I can't do anything. And no one can tell me what this is or what to do about it, if there is anything to be done. I don't know where to turn, where to go, where they might listen and dig deeper and try to figure this out. And I don't feel like there's enough time left anyway, as so much damage has already been done while doctors have wasted time acting like this isn't a big deal. What do I do? Where do I turn? Can I just die now? I keep hoping to just go in my sleep. Please don't come back. People don't come back from this kind of damage, right?
Well, there's a lot in there. She said it began 7 months ago. I assume she was injected 7 months ago.
Yeah.
My guess. What an awful, terrible thing to have to read, and you did it beautifully. And that person, whoever it is clearly now focused on the reality of his or her situation and where she or he is going, and it's not to a happy place. She knows. She's been put through all the tests, all this organized medicine and all of its testing and all the profits and profiteering and money. It does nothing for people who have been vax injured. The bioweapon takes no prisoners. Its job,
and there's a lot
its
of
prime
people
directive.
Like this out there.
That's right. And you'll see these people while they're still ambulatory. You'll see them out. And they're not going to tell you anything unless you know them. They don't wear a sign, I'm vax injured and I wish I would die right now. And some of them are dying in the streets. I had a video up there right now. A woman just fell over dead in the street. The hearts just stop, and they're not.
Yep.
They can't be resuscitated. No CPR is going to bring that heart back to life. It's been shut off bioelectrically, etc. But you go to the doctor. These doctors don't know what the hell's going on. They're in denial themselves. They don't want to go there. This is really bad, and it's getting worse. This 2 to 5 year window after the vax, the injection, the bioweapon reception, seems to be a pretty reasonable one now. Figures started in 2021, and here we are in 2024. This is about 3 years and counting. So end of this year will be 4, and that's right on the doorstep of the Deagle.com projections. I'd give them into 2025, frankly, to see that actually occur and manifest. But very sad, Reed. Very, very sad. This, the more we look into this, the more pathways to death begin to present.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not horrible. It's not like a nuclear bomb went off. These are graduating in their degrees of wickedness. They just keep getting worse. And they compound with other pathways that are also manifesting in your body if you've been injected. No, we're not saying to give up. Don't ever do that. But understand, it's like Brother Kapner said in the last hour, know your enemy. If you don't know what the hell you're up against, you got no chance. At all.
I know.
And what
That's
most
true.
People do, they throw themselves into the arms of their American Medical Association representative and say, yes, give me all the tests. We've got to find out. The tests are not where to look. They're going to give
you
some... No, they're
not really saying much.
Go. No.
At least initially, what I am seeing now is now that 2 or 3 years has gone by in some cases... the tests are starting to reveal heart damage. Whereas in the beginning, it looked completely normal. These people were told that it was all in their
right.
head.
Right.
You know, perfectly fine to exercise when, of course, if you have myocarditis, that's the last thing you want to do. So they may have incurred inadvertently more damage than otherwise would have been there.
It's true. And the heart is pushing sludge around. Even McCullough... And I'm not sure if Malone did, but the word is that everyone who has taken a viable, active, functional injection of this killer weapon has myocarditis to one degree or another. Whether it's subclinical or not, you got to be really careful if you've taken these shots, any of them, one of them. It doesn't matter. You've got to be careful.
I would be on the lookout for heart issues, blood clots. The immune system issues, and you know, those are not always obvious. You know, you can't look at somebody and tell that they have some sort of immune deficiency.
Nope. or catastrophic failure, because they can still walk around just waiting for something to hit them. That's why we think Allicin C is so important. It'll help give you some immunological defense when your immunological systems are compromised. And biosuperfood, I hate to be parroting these things over and over, but they're critical.
Yeah.
Really, really important.
Yeah.
This is just not going to get better, and I feel we both care so much about all of you who went through a holiday season after having suffered loss, or who are currently suffering 24/7 pain, discomfort, this feeling, and it turns into a realization that you're never going to get your health back. We hear this all the time. You heard the woman that Erica just read about. Of, what do I do? She said, where do I turn? Can I just die now? I am hoping just to go in my sleep. This is not uncommon. And yet many of these people will actually be out and about. They have to go to the store, and you won't be able to tell. And the media is never going to tell you.
No.
The lie is
forgotten.
Embedded.
They're right. Not even touching it.
No. And what did we learn in our last program, which we hope all of you will listen to? It was a little bit sciencey, but very important. The human heart uses fat for energy. Keeping it simple.
That's the preferred
that's
fuel.
It
likes to burn fat. And anything that's kind of a endurance type of activity, like the heart having to beat 24/7, fat is the best source. As opposed to sugar.
And what happened? What did we find out now?
Well, they sampled 1,000 people that were undergoing PET scans looking for cancer metastases, and they figured, well, let's just see vaxxed compared to unvaxxed. And I don't know if they were looking specifically at their heart, but that is what they noticed. That in the hearts of those who had received vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, they excluded the adenovirus vectored vaccine because there weren't enough to be statistically significant. So these were just Pfizer, Moderna, mRNA transfection, quote, vaccines. And these were people that were not symptomatic for myocarditis or heart issues. They were being looked at for cancer. But what they found was in those who had received the vaccines, their hearts had unusual, abnormal uptake of glucose. Shouldn't be like that. If the heart is operating in a healthy manner, it should not be sucking up sugar like it is. It's what does that mean? Well, okay, if the heart muscle is burning sugar, it's not efficient at generating ATP. And you're going to be building up a lot of lactic acid. And I would say over time, you're probably going to deplete the NAD in the heart because, it's burning sugar because it doesn't have oxygen. That's why it's reverting to burning sugar. And in that type of metabolism, it's very possible that they could deplete the ATP pool, the purine pools in the heart, and then you don't have enough NAD to continue manufacturing ATP. And then the heart just dies. It'll stop.
No reason to think that the heart's going to regress and revert back to its proper fuel in those cases.
Unless
we don't know.
Get oxygen back in there. The vasculature, I think, is what's preventing it. I mean, first of all, if the heart's inflamed, there's going to be a diminishing of the oxygen supply. And then the vessels are damaged. There's microclotting.
And there's
so to
very
burn
little...
fat, you need oxygen.
No.
Oxidative phosphorylation, which is how the mitochondria in a cell generates ATP, and you generate 36 to 38 molecules of ATP when you use oxidative phosphorylation, whereas when you burn sugar, it's maybe 4 to 8.
Got it. All right, this is, in other words, what we're seeing here is a very, very negative trend. Bad news for the heart. The heart is under siege, constantly under siege, as you know, if you've been listening, from a number of different vectors. It's being taken down. This is a war on the immune system, the blood, the heart, the brain, all major organs of the body. This is a biological weapon of the first magnitude of horror and efficiency. This was no failed anything. This was a deployed weapon of absolute perfection. This is what they wanted, and this is what they got.
And the fact that these continue, there's your proof. These should have been stopped, you know, in what, the first couple of weeks of January 2021?
I'm still disgusted by most of the alt-world doctors who will not approach this completely objectively and tell it like it is. They won't do it. They'll call it a failed vaccine or something that didn't have enough trialing. Oh, no, it had plenty of trials. They got what they wanted. They, the dark side, who are out to reduce the population of this planet. And I'm appalled that there hasn't been any uprising from the people. And there are plenty of people who know there's something grievously wrong with this whole thing, but they're not going to do anything. And I think part of it is that about 275 million Americans did take the shot, and many of them are not well. They don't feel well. And you've got to feel well before you want to get out in the streets or do anything of any great advocacy. And they don't have it. It's sad.
Well, and I think most people are resistant to considering
they don't want
that
to go
this
there.
Is intentional. All of this is intentional, in intent to harm and intent to kill.
Denial. It's all denial. It can't be. Our government wouldn't do that.
Right.
Never.
Oh, yep.
Well, guess again. All right, here's the deal. We got a new video here. This is very, very interesting. When you get the injection, the bioweapon injection on the mRNA with its LN liquid nanoparticle covering is able to get into your cell, pushed right into it, and it takes over that cell, and it orders the cell to produce spike proteins. Well, the ribosome in the cell is what does the actual spike production. And when these ribosomes are producing spike, that's what most people think happens when you take the bioweapon. There's more to it now that we've found out, and this is new, and it's very interesting. Go ahead. Tell us what Dr. Merrick is going to present, and we'll play some of this.
Okay, well, this is not new. We've mentioned it before.
We have, yes.
But this is regarding how they modified the mRNA. And in this case, they took what's uridine, which is a nucleic acid, and they replaced it with a pseudouridine. And then they added another change to it, added a methyl group, so it's methyl pseudouridine. And that the purpose of that was to make sure that the mRNA wouldn't get degraded before it got into the cell and reached the ribosome and was translated into a protein. Because if you didn't make those changes, the immune system would see it and destroy it, and no protein would be produced. So they had to make those changes to make the transfection successful. The problem, though, is that when the ribosome, which is what reads the mRNA inside the cell, when it goes to translate that piece of mRNA, this methyl pseudouridine kind of jams it up, and what you get is a frame shift, so it doesn't quite read it accurately. And so instead of producing the protein that it's supposed to produce or was intended to produce, the spike, you get something different. And what that is, it's pretty much arbitrary. Depends where the start codon ended up and the end, or the tail ended up, but you're just creating junk proteins.
Unknown junk proteins.
Yeah, so your body's being flooded with foreign synthetic proteins, never seen before, but there is other literature research that indicates that when this happens, these are mostly amyloid and prion-like fragments. So when they circulate around the body or end up in circulation, they
bad.
Who knows?
Bad
yes,
news.
Very bad. So it's almost a recipe for amyloidosis at the very least. And if this stuff ends up in the brain, then you have some sort of prion disease, neurodegeneration, you name it, ALS, Parkinson's, Creutzfeldt-Jakob.
So, okay, these mRNA inserts into the cells end up producing spike and rogue proteins, amyloid, prion, catastrophic proteins. You do not want these being produced in your body. This is yet another pathway or two that this bioweapon does its dirt. Understand.
Well, and that opens up a whole new can of worms in terms of, what is being shed.
Exactly. So
because, there are people that I've seen reports of people who received the injection, the transfection, and went to get their spike antibodies checked to see if they responded appropriately or what they thought was appropriately to the injection.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any antibodies to spike.
Yep.
So either they didn't translate the protein or whatever was translated was not spike.
This is not good. All right, here's Dr. Paul Marek, one of my favorites, and he's going to talk about what we just described, what Erica made very clear in a scientific sense. And this is the same thing from Dr. Paul Marek, basically. Oh, I should say he's being interviewed by the
Janja Kelic from Epoch Times.
I guess he's one of the top guys at Epoch Times. All right, here we go.
American Thought Leaders Now. Today, our very special guest is Dr. Paul Marek, Chief Scientific Officer of the FLCCC. Dr. Marek, so good to have you on.
Yeah, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
I want to talk to you about this new article in Nature, 20 prominent authors talking about something that a lot of people are finding stunning. With my limited knowledge, I also found stunning, and it's this ribosomal frame shifting that's happening when this synthetic mRNA is used in these COVID genetic vaccines. Can you just give me an outline of what's really going on here?
Yeah, so I think this is a stunning paper that is really, really important. And so the findings were important, but what's equally important is that it was published in Nature, which is a, highly respected medical journal with a long list of reputable investigators. So what the ribosome does is it's a little structure which reads the messenger RNA, and then it makes the protein. So the messenger RNA carries the code to make the protein. And it's they're very specific sequence of nucleotides that the ribosome reads to determine the order of amino acids. And then amino acids make up the protein. So normally, messenger RNA has uridine. That's the way the body was made. But in order for this technology to work, they had to substitute the uridine for a pseudouridine. And what the study shows is that when you put a pseudouridine in where a uridine should be, the ribosome jumps or misreads the messenger RNA. And as a consequence of this, it results in a bogus protein being made. So instead of making spike protein, it makes a nonsense protein that is possibly toxic.
Well,
possibly toxic. Now remember, we're talking about a biological weapon that was perfected and deployed, and it's doing what they wanted it to do. When you get down to it, you'll recall that the rationale was, well, we're going to have your body produce the necessary ingredients to defeat this terrible virus, right? The spike protein is supposed to be the only thing produced, but it's not. It's not. And this is really a big development. Go ahead.
No, that's I agree.
All right.
There's other things besides spike being produced. We don't know what their biological effects are, how toxic they are.
And they didn't tell us.
Nope.
Here we go.
And so that's astonishing. You know, something that just comes to my mind, I think one of the recommendations in the paper is that, you know, we just not use the pseudouridine and just use uridine. You just use normal mRNA.
The problem is if you used a normal messenger RNA, it would be broken down by the host very quickly, and it wouldn't work, and you wouldn't make the spike protein. So to overcome the problem, they came up with this idea of using pseudouridine. In fact, the Nobel Prize was awarded to two physicians for this discovery. So in a way, they've kind of shot themselves in the foot, because the technology on which the platform is based has now been shown to be functionally defective, because it doesn't do what it's meant to do. And it applies to the entire messenger RNA platform, because this whole technology is based on the pseudouridine.
Understand what he said and extrapolate that to take into account that they are in the process of reformatting all traditional vaccines with the mRNA platform. This is going to be a catastrophe for what's left of humanity when they start jabbing people with these mRNA shots.
So it means that whatever vaccine or whatever protein that they want to make is going to be defective based on this problem.
So there, I mean, if I read this right, and please correct me, like 25 or 30% of the time, which is frankly a lot, you get this error, this junk protein, I think as you described it, that's created instead of the spike protein. And so, I mean, what are the implications of that? I think the paper also says that that some of those proteins have an immunological response, that create an immunological response.
Yeah, so like much to do with this vaccine, we don't really know. But obviously, it's making a protein which shouldn't be there. It's a foreign protein to the host. The spike protein is a foreign protein. The host sees it as foreign and is going to mount an immune response. So the likelihood is that the host is going to see this protein as defective and is going to mount an immune response. But it may have other more sinister toxic effects that we don't know about. And this can have, you know, adverse consequences on the patient.
And you mentioned something about amyloid proteins when we were talking offline.
So we know that the vaccine, the spike protein itself, has a sequence of amyloid protein in the spike protein. And we know that there have been increased deposition of amyloid in patients who have received the vaccines. And amyloid is the protein which collects in patients in the brain of patients with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So the fact that you have these foreign proteins in the cell, and you know, the nanoparticles cross the blood-brain barrier quite easily. So these proteins may form in the brain and, you know, may have serious consequences.
The way the paper is written, they say, well, this is, of course, a great technology and so on and so forth. However, there's this kind of problem that we found. And the problem, but as you describe it, seems to be foundational.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, this is the premise on which it's based has failed. And it's causing an end result which was unexpected and should not happen.
When he says failed, he's talking about the party line of how the alleged vaccine is supposed to work. But I would submit it's not failing at all. It's doing precisely what the bioweapon was designed to do.
I agree.
This technology has essentially failed.
Do you think the reviewers of this paper understood the implications?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure there's no one reading this paper who couldn't understand how what a fundamental disaster this actually is, because it challenges the whole premise of the
fundamental disaster or phenomenal success. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on which side of the street you're on when you're looking at this horror going past you. This is a bioweapon. It is phenomenally successful. People are dying. And there are tens, maybe hundreds of millions of people right now who are in agony 24 hours a day. Misery. Pain. They've been through God knows how many tests with no resolution. Nothing determined
well,
by the
test. Well, and let's not forget, some of these people that were injured were forced to take the vaccine or coerced by their employers and then since lost their jobs because they were unable to work and now have no insurance and they've been pretty much depleted their savings
many have been
on medical
wiped
care.
Out. Yes.
Yeah.
This is so... so goddamn diabolically evil. I don't even have words for
mm-hmm.
it. It's just over the top.
mRNA platform.
For a long time, it was impossible to launch such a challenge in a very prominent journal, at least from what I've understood. So, I mean, has something changed here, do you think?
So that's a very good question because, I mean, we know there are multiple problems associated with this technology, which is not a vaccine. This, I mean, by all definitions, this is a genetic therapy. And there's overwhelming scientific data that there are numerous problems with this technology, but I think it's been largely buried. And there's been a...
It's been almost 100% buried. They're, my God, they've been lying since day one about what this stuff actually does to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am offended by them, not Dr. Merrick, but calling this a gene therapy. The word therapy is essentially a positive term. Therapy.
Right.
It's good. No, this is not. This is gene destruction, corruption, perversion. It's turning genetics into a death weapon. So it's not
gene
therapy.
Yeah, it's a genetic assault. I would call it an assault.
I agree.
Evidence to discuss it. The fact that this was published in such a prominent journal, I think is really significant because maybe there is a ground swelling now that there's movement to people maybe acknowledging finally that these vaccines maybe not all that they've been made out to be.
Well, Dr. Merrick, I God bless you. I hope you get to the point where you can stop calling them a vaccine at all, under any circumstance. They're not. There's nothing of a traditional vaccine definition that applies to this bioweapon. Nothing. It's just sickening. Let me move up here. Around 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to jump ahead a little bit here. He gets into a little bit of talking about shedding, which is always very important. Understand, when you're around people, you're not getting cells shed upon you. You're getting proteins shed upon you. When you inhale proteins, you go right into your bloodstream and by touch.
This idea of shedding was one of the most, I think, well, no, I think I know the reason, because the societal implications are huge. If it turns out that, you know, vaccinated people can pass somehow the symptoms of their issues, right, to unvaccinated people or you know, foreign protein in itself, that, I mean, there's all sorts of implications, I suppose. So where are we at around the knowledge on this?
Yeah, so I think shedding is a real issue. I think Pfizer in their original documentation were aware that shedding was a problem. And so they you know, advised certain precautions. We now know that shedding is a real issue. You know, we have, you know, anecdotal stories of patients who've been in close contact with somebody who's been recently vaccinated, who've developed symptoms. And it's not just one patient. This is a reproducible finding over and over again. And then when you treat these people for spike-related disease, they get better. So we know that this is happening. There's a study recently that's been done investigating shedding, which has not been published yet. So I'm not really appraised of all the findings, but we know it is a real issue that people who have recently been vaccinated can transmit spike protein to people in close vicinity to them. It's the description of a self-replicating vaccine. So you vaccinate somebody else who then transmits the spike protein to somebody else without them knowing, without their consent, without their knowledge. But that is indeed what is happening, is that people who've been vaccinated may be, and we think there's good evidence, transmitting the spike protein to people that have not been vaccinated, or unvaccinated people, or even vaccinated people. And so there is a biological plausibility. So we think the way this is happening is, as we know, the spike distributes throughout the whole body, including the lung. And in the lung, what happens is you form what are called exosomes. So exosomes are like lipid nanoparticles, which you then exhale. So people who've been recently vaccinated, we don't know how long that may be. It may be as long as 12 weeks, 16 weeks. They then exhale these particles containing spike protein, which are then inhaled by people in close vicinity. So this doesn't need to be, you know, close, intimate physical contact. This can just be close, you know, in the proximity. They can then inhale these particles, which then they become spiked. They have spike protein within them. And it's possible that, you know, if, you know, somebody's sleeping in a bed and is shedding spike into the mattress or the sheets, and that somebody who comes in and cleans the sheets, you know, disperses these particles, which they then inhale. So the implications are pretty serious.
I mean, absolutely astonishing. Well, Dr. Paul.
Okay, and that was the end of the conversation between the senior editor of Epoch Times and Dr. Paul Marek. This is available under our names and guests as well. We'll put this up in the archive on the homepage also. Staggering information, which we've been trying to present for years, literally, here. You cannot ignore shedding. You just can't, as inconvenient as it may be. What's your life worth? Now, not only are the spike proteins being shed, but these other rogue proteins are also being shed that your body is making. And I would also suggest that Dr. Marek might have gone further without any real difficulty. And we don't know how far out you can run with this. He said 6, 8, 10 weeks, something after a vax. I think that anybody who has been successfully given this bioweapon injection is going to be shedding permanently. I think that's an argument that can be made, and we don't know the real answer yet.
I think so, too, because we know there is genome integration. In other words, this mRNA transcript gene inserts itself into people's DNA. There's probably some form of lateral gene transfer with the bacteria that colonize people, both inside and outside. And what those bacteria are behaving like after they've taken up the gene, who knows? And I would also contend that there's recombination events happening with other viruses that are present in people. So this gene doesn't just infect the human host. You have to consider the bacteria and the viruses that live on and in people as well. And those are going to be in exosomes and skin sloughing. You know, the ripple effect of this is going to be felt for generations. You know, and they did not take into account.
Yeah, true.
But you know, no consideration was given to what effect is it going to have shedding this foreign protein and foreign genetic material into an ecosystem. You know, they're saying now that the wastewater is absolutely chock full of, well, SARS coronavirus 2, whatever that means. You know, this gene is now everywhere, and the protein is everywhere, and these rogue proteins are everywhere. And very clearly, they're capable of making people and animals quite sick, if not killing them.
Oh, everything from zoo animals to household friends. Some people call them pets. They're friends, dogs and cats. We think other animals are also being... This is the anti-life dimensions of this weapon may not know any bounds. We don't know. If it's a living, breathing animal, mammal, perhaps even insect, we don't know. The potential of this thing is horrific. That's all we can say. And it is not getting any better. And damn, I wish we had other news to present, but we're not going to lie. And all these people who refer to this as somehow a failed gene therapy or some kind of a misrepresentation of what it's supposed to be.
Maybe we can do better next time.
That's it.
And by the way, I don't know, did you post the piece on the PrEP Act has now been invoked for Ebola and Marburg?
I didn't
evidently countermeasures are being prepared.
All right, let's look under our names. There's also a piece on babies, young people, toddlers who are getting bacterial skin infection, staph strep, and so forth. It's a part and parcel of this whole weapon deployment against humankind. But what Eric is talking about now is very important. Spend a little bit more time on that. Just go ahead. We have just another 2 minutes.
What, the Marburg thing or the shedding thing?
Yes, no, the Marburg thing, because they're going to roll that out. It's pretty obvious.
Well, yeah, as of November 27, I think it was, they updated the Federal Register to declare that Marburg and Ebola are emergency, drawing a blank.
It's a pandemic alert, basically.
Yeah. And they are preparing countermeasures. Now, whether that means vaccines or medications or prophylactics, who knows?
Or
but it sounds
rifles.
Like they're getting ready to run with it.
I'm telling you, they don't miss a trick. If they do unload, and I think they will, at some point, a hemorrhagic virus, Marburg, Ebola, others, you're going to see panic like you've never seen before. All they have to do is put some videos up of some people who are suffering and bleeding from their eyes, ears, nose, mouth, all orifices. All they've got to do is put video of that kind of suffering and death up on the screen, and you will see panic like you've never seen before. I'm telling you, it's going to be graphically overwhelming for people to see this. It's like people falling over dead in the street now when their heart is overwhelmed from this bioweapon. They're just falling over dead. This has limitless potential for more horror. And they're getting ready. And countermeasures usually mean a vaccine. And I would suggest that they already have their mRNA-based, mRNA-predicated Ebola Marburg vaccine, in quotes, already on the shelf. I'll bet.
Well, for what good it is, they don't work.
It's no good. It's no good at all. None. It's just another extraction of money and wealth and the distribution of death. That's all it is.
Yep.
And just remember, mRNA, it should be right now outlawed. It is not a viable and practical an effective tool in the war against disease. And there's a really big bacterial component to this whole mess, which we've talked about at length, and you need to remember that almost invariably the digestive bacterial content of people who have either taken the shot or been shed upon is a mess.
Yeah.
And that many say, and we kind of agree, that has to be the first line that you try to draw in the sand and get fixed, your digestive bacteria. That's crucial.
Well, part of the problem is that the spike protein creates intestinal permeability.
That's right.
So that, you know, whatever's living in your gut, you know, many, many different forms of bacteria, some of which are not so nice, have a means of getting into the bloodstream, whether it's the bacteria themselves or the toxins that they produce, and then creating a endotoxemia, which can inflame the body like there's no tomorrow, and which inflames the brain. And you will have headaches and you know, neurological symptoms from that. We should cover this childhood rash thing, because I'm seeing a lot of it.
All right. We'll have to do that on Friday.
All right.
We're running over now.
Okay.
So, all right, dear friends, a lot to think about there. Please listen to the program again. Second time is sometimes helpful. Third time can be the charm. Pass it around. Share it. These are very tough times. We're here to help in any way we can, and we hope that something will come along that we can actually point to as being a viable tool to use against this genocide of humankind. Thank you. Great job, as always. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with more after this.